So I thank you. I praise the Lord for the opportunity. It's the first missionary trip that I've ever taken, and I, by God's grace, I've been able to take quite a few. I've lost count, but it's the first one that we never even had time to spend 15, 20 minutes in a bazaar someplace to pick up some trophies or whatever you want. We just didn't have it. We were busy from the time we landed till the time we took off in both countries. We were busy with pastors, talking them through their challenges in some cases, other cases just listening because they don't have people to listen to or listen that will listen to them. And I also was amazed at the fact that God gave stamina. More stamina than I thought I might need at my age, to tell you the truth, but we didn't have any problems at all. And I thank this church for that opportunity. There's a map on the screen right now, and I don't have a good pointer. Let's see, it's that, see the one I can see the best here. It's that odd-shaped yellow one up on the hump that is totally landlocked, is Mali. You can see it up there. And down at the lower left corner, it's sort of like a jaw coming out. That little country is Guinea. We spent a week in each one of those two countries. We did a lot of traveling. We were ostensibly there to dedicate a well that Praise International has sponsored and paid for. And by the way, they've bought 5 wells now and put in Mali. And I got to thinking, I didn't take any of these pictures, but I wish we had one particular picture. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But in the meantime, I want to talk about why. Even then, I missed a piece of paper back there, Pat. One that's written in. Yeah, that's it. This week I've been, this is working okay right now, isn't it? Okay, I'm not going to worry about it quite as much. Okay. This week I was really constrained to consider the water situation because we have more water at our house than we need up underneath it. It's got a pump on it, water table's high. But I laid in bed one morning and I counted, and I'm going to give you some numbers. And you're all going to be familiar with these, and we'll make a point with it. I have 3 spigots, faucets, or taps, whatever you want to call it, on my house, all outdoors. I have 1 in the household that goes to nothing but a hot water heater. I have 6 in 3 sinks. There's 2 each, 1 hot, 1 cold. In 2 different bathrooms, 6 spigots. I have 4 in bathtubs, 2 each, 2 different bathtubs. I have 2 for toilets. I have 2 more, a hot and a cold for a washer, clothes washer, and for 2 more for a dishwasher. Did you add those up? There's 20 spigots of water in my house, and I don't have a big house. When we get to the pictures in a little bit, and let's see if we, see what the next one is here. Stop and think about it. Once we put a well in, we put a tower up. You'll see pictures in a minute. I probably should have worked this out a little better there. Water goes up, water comes down to a place where we put about a 6x10 concrete pad and a little wall with 1 spigot in. Think about it. I've got 20 in my house. The whole village only has that 1 spigot. Don't you thank the Lord for your water
and your delivery system and all the rest of it?
1 spigot. Somewhere in the pictures, you won't quite see the spigot, but you'll see the little wall if you catch it. 20 spigots. Wow.
They've only got one tap. This makes me think of another aspect. When Jeff and Jackie were here one time, Jeff and Jackie name just went out with Mission Board in Elkhart, Indiana. Now, they do well monitoring systems that he's designed. And they put them on some of these wells in the countries, and they probably only got one spigot. We don't even do that. We put a solar panel there for power for pump, and even those get stolen. So we've taken it away. Now we put the solar panel on top of the water tower, but we still only got one spigot. Just think yourself through that, one spigot. Jeff and Jackie told the story of monitoring one of them, and a woman sent a letter back in, and she says, "I'm so thankful that it's being monitored." Wow. I guess we would be. One spigot. And her thing was, had nothing to do with the spigot, but the fact that she didn't have to send the kids down to the river anymore where the crocodiles are. She's thankful for one spigot. Let me ask you, are you thankful? I think we should be. Let's go to the pictures. Let's see what we've got here. Still looking at Molly. We went up one third. Can we back that one up again? I'm sorry. Yeah, up to Molly. Take a look at that, and roughly divided in diagonal lines of thirds. And the top third and toward the right is a tribe known as the Fulani. How many of you have heard of the Fulani? Yeah. We think of them, unfortunately, because that's where the Muslim jihadis are in Mali. And we always say, well, that's the Fulanis. No, the Fulanis is our tribe. They're a bunch of independent people, tribal. The jihadis have moved into that area and are causing a lot of havoc. In fact, one of the buses bringing some of the, one or two of the pastors from clear up there into Bamako, and you see it down here in the lower left, is where we had the conference in this case. One of them ran over a landmine. One person was killed. So it was affected. Now I tell you that to tell you that the government really helped sponsor this mission trip. Normally the governments don't get involved except to give you a visa, travel documents, things like that. But the mayor of Bamako signed our invitation letter. You have to have invitation letters to get visas, to get permission to go and get that all worked out. The mayor of Bamako. Our first dinner was in the home of one of the bodyguards to the president of the country. We didn't know we were going to have that type of thing. And as we were driving northeast out of Bamako, up in there somewhere past that narrow part to see one of the wells we had put in, out in the desert. It's 80% desert, by the way, in Mali. We think of it as being Africa and jungle, but that's not quite right. It's 80% desert, out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there wasn't anybody around. We came upon a police checkpoint. They usually don't put them out there. In fact, a lot of times the checkpoints are purely for people wanting a little graft. But there was a bunch of policemen. There was two police cars there. There was three or four, and they walked over to the our car and looked in and said, "Are you guys those three pastors working with the wells?" "Yep." Never looked at our passports or anything. Said, "Good. The government just sent us out here to make sure you're still okay." We had some tremendous protection. God went ahead. Okay. Let's move on here. I guess I better stick by this. We went to Guinea for a week after that. And by the way, I can't see it on there. I didn't look for a real good map. The Chinese are building roads. I think they call it the Road and Build or Belt and Road Initiative around all of Africa. And we traveled on one of those new roads. They're a dirt road. They're a dirt road. At that point, they're just simply plowed out. And in Guinea was more jungle, just plowed out. That's all the further they've gone so far. Put in a few culverts here and there. Yet they've got trucks as big as we've got here. Four axles on a trailer, four axles on the tractor, going down those roads, putting ruts in them, it rains, you see. We took 8 to 9 hours to do a 250 to 300 mile trip on one of these built initiatives. They construct them as they go, but they don't keep you from driving on them while they're constructing them. Interesting. Rough. We got tired of those two trips, but still we knew what we were doing and where we were going. Okay. Just to show you something here, this is the pastor's conference. Just a quick picture of a pastor's conference in Mali as we got started. We had quite a few. I think the next picture is myself teaching. I had the privilege of teaching twice a day in conference situations and preaching one time. We'll show you some more about that in another bit. One of the pastors giving testimony. And here is some of the team. I turned two pages, maybe I did. No, we're okay. Larry, you don't recognize that big fellow in that picture, perchance, do you? He's an MAF-er. He's one of the fellows. He comes from Caldwell, and he's one of the trainers for MAF in the backcountry flying up here. Nate Pickens is his name. I'm going to cross it. Anyway, those are just two family situations that we were with. We're down next one, some pictures of pastors that were involved. Another one of, looks like we got two on that one somehow. Anyway, I thought I'd tell you those pictures where I'm kneeled down with the kids. We had a meal with the family there. And I thought you people would like to know some of the eating problems. We always have eating problems. You know, you thank the Lord for the food and really mean it. I'm not kidding. I've had some interesting food over my lifetime. My sister sent me different things to remind me of my age and the things I've been through. And one of the things she said, you've always been thankful for your food. Yes. In this case, they put out one big bowl on the table. One of those big serving type things. We sat around the table where we each handled a spoon like a tablespoon or a big soup spoon. And we were expected to eat out of the same bowl. Okay, that's not too bad. I had a problem with the chicken in it. I couldn't get the chicken off the bone that was in this chicken soup. So the lady of the house came over, pushed her sleeves up like this, both hands right into the bowl, pulled all that chicken off, got it all off, made it easy to eat, went out, went like this, and we were expected to go back to eating. Thought you'd like it. Thank the Lord for the food, and you really mean it, like I say. Okay, another picture. This is some of the team when we looked at the leaders and one or two of their children. You know, we talk about foreigners in our country. I didn't go any place. In fact, I don't think I have been to a foreign country yet where I haven't been accepted, welcomed, people come up to me, shake my hand, or in the case of Iran, it's a male-to-male kiss to each cheek. Some people can't stand that. I learned to do that and give it in times. It really has paid off. You get with the people, you learn these things that are proper and decent. It's worth the effort, let me tell you. And the next picture, go ahead. Okay, moving into Guinea again. Let's see, that's Guinea again. And the washing of clothes, water, going back to water. On this Belt and Road Initiative, as I say, they're plowing them out. They put in, what do you call them, culverts, nice aprons for them and protection in concrete. It's running off, the water is running off this road, coming up out of the jungle, and the water is brown. We didn't drink that. I'll say this, we go by bottled water over there for ourselves. And even with the so-called Micron fear, the bottled water is so much safer with a little bit of, what is it, plastic in there than the water in a stream, like I just said. And they come down there and wash their clothes in that, lay them out on the mud to dry. I think the salvation of that whole washing system has to be getting up and shaking all the dust out after it's dry. But that's the way it's done. That's the water they live with. And it makes us think all the more about the fact that people are there that need the Lord. People are there, in this case, that are willing to tell them about the Lord. These are all pastors. Some of them we help support. Praise International does not completely support a pastor. We look for the pastors in this case that comes along and has a burden for it, wants to do it, is going to trust the Lord for it. Then we'll subsidize him so he can travel to his mission points. And as he travels to his mission points, they do the work. And we've got one man in each case that's sort of the leader. And we've got some pretty good leaders in most of the countries we're in. I think we're in about 7 different countries all told. I forget how many pastors. But they're doing a magnificent job. And here is the pastors from one group right there. Let's see here. Okay. Here's one of the wells. I'm sorry, there's a few women in this church that got after me for climbing a ladder when I was painting my garage. I disobeyed. I only went that high. But I told our picture taker, I said, I want at least 2 pictures of me climbing a ladder so I can remind you women that I'm not obeying your word. Well, with safety. Anyway, praise the Lord that you're concerned. I thank you for that. Let's go on with these wells. We've got 5 of these wells I mentioned, and most of them are well out in the villages. I think they all are. They're all out in a place where there is no running water other than the local stream, or I don't even know about spring in the desert, what's coming up. We've got different people in these places. These are some of our leadership. Again, think about it. How many spigots do you have in your house? I got 20. They've got 1 in the village. Wow. Okay, we're moving on into work in the work of the conferences, and it is a lot of work. They get them ready to go. We take certificates for those that have taken some correspondence with the mission. We encourage them. We get them to go around in groups to share with themselves, to share with us, etc. You know, you stop and think about it. Where do some of these foreign missionaries, well, take it back, some of these national missionaries get their fellowship? When we have the privilege of supporting them, we feel we have the privilege of going and seeing them, and they like it. I'll tell you, they wanted me dressed this way. They bought the outfit. This is the standard outfit for the businessman all over both New Guinea and Mali, or Guinea and Mali. This is what you get up and get dressed in, even if I was asking for my pajamas today. Really and truly. Let's move on. This is the church now, which is at the location. Well, it's not exactly. I don't know how far away it is, but the well is here. Where the village for this one really is, I couldn't find out because it's a suburb of Bamako. Suburbs don't even have the water yet. One other trip is I was in one of the homes in Ivory Coast, which is neighbor town. And for Sunday school, they go out and move all the chickens into a pen. Sweep the floor, bring out 2 benches, that's the church. Church is over, they take benches out and let the chickens out. It's the chicken yard the rest of the week. Look what we did this morning. We didn't have everything planned, did we? But it went. Volunteers, Wow. We encourage that type of thing among these people. That's the church there, and this is me preaching in that church. I laugh because those other two are translators. I spoke in English. Freddie's the second man in. He's the president of Praise International. And I do not even know the other man's name. But Freddie spoke in French. He translated everything I said to French. The other fella is translating his French into Bomara, which is the local tribal language. Okay, so I have 15 minutes to talk. Well, we spread it out, but you'll get the point. That means he's going to take 15 minutes to do the translation, then the third man's going to take that, and you have to sit there half an hour and you can't even hear what's said. So we get into that situation. I had about a 40-minute message, I think, prepared there. Thankfully, I didn't give it all. But I'm saying all the time, let's see, how can I cut this down? I've got to cut this down. This is important, and it's interesting. They still got up, and were telling me about things I said in the message, so God did it. God does those things. And I tell you. See these blue outfits? Call that attention to you. That's the pastor's in the same type of outfit. He's just got more decoration on it. Exactly the same cut of an outfit. The fellow on the right, first place, the tall fellow, 7 feet 1 inches. He's our leader in Mali. And we got to learn how to trust him and find out we need to trust these people. And that person that's God, full of the Holy Spirit, knows what we're doing, and we can contact back and forth. And Freddie does most of that. And we got him there. Anyway, that's our leader, Christoph. When he was getting started with Praise International, I think it's been about 8 or 9 or 10 years ago now, he traveled to every pastor once every 3 months, once every quarter in that country that you saw up there. That's quite that map that you saw, to give them the funds that we sent over. Since then, we've been able to work out a better fund sending, receiving situation, which God has really led to. And we do have to pay a cost for it, but it's as reasonable as we can get, and it's reasonable enough to get them the equivalent of a couple hundred, $250 a month subsidy. And we have, I think it's about 30 plus pastors in Mali. So we pay them, we send the money once a quarter. He doesn't go around like he used to, but he used to take 3 days just to go around to contact pastors. The fellow in the brown on the left, well, that's a picture, by the way. The one spigot is right behind that picture for this group of people. Anyway, the mayor was going to come. Something came up, he couldn't come, so he sent a dignitary. Dignitary got all caught up in the traffic. He never made it. This fellow knew about it, and he stood in for him. Sounded like church this morning, doesn't it? Well, I mean, he stepped in for everybody. And I don't understand what he said, but he did a good job because the people appreciated it, and he cut the ribbon over the one spigot this village now has. They're thankful for the water. There he is. The other, notice the fellow with the white stripe. These are all, when you see that, that's the local policeman. They put a policeman on our little group, every place we were in the city, and they had several policemen around the grounds. I think, nobody ever said anything about it, but we think that that was because the jihadis, this was such a big dedication service that the jihadis might have wanted to make a plea there, or something like that, with one of their situations. Anyway, the Lord took care. There he is getting ready to he's interviewing our leader. Let's just keep going here. One of the pastors. Some of the kids. Now, there we are. We're sitting there in the blue. We're halfway through this lineup of people at the dedication. they are so enamored with the fact that they can have this water that they're going out of their way to take care of us. In fact, they had a break in the ceremony somewhere along the line, and they had a whole bunch of tribal dancing. Very interesting. The men would dance, the women would dance, the kids would dance, and they'd start through the next tribe and do the same thing. Well, one time, three gals broke away from one of them, and each one of them came over and grabbed one of us by hand and take them in and had us dancing with them. I'll tell you right now, the step was easy. I can show you right now what the step is, but they complicated it with the different movements they put it with. I never did catch up with it. Anyway, let's keep going. There's the men dancing. Didn't get one of the women. Okay. That's that first church we looked at when they saw the big area. And I think the rest of these are just simply village pictures now. You know, here's a place we're out in the village that's got one of the wells. You can't quite see it the way there. There's the head man of the village was very sick. He was on the floor. I had the privilege of praying for him. But we talked to him, how's the well doing? Another village. That, by the way, is their church. And one last one of the Guinea pastors. It's a privilege to go out to encourage them. It's a privilege to be accepted by them. It's a privilege when they want to dress you like them. It really is. It's meaningful to them. It's meaningful to us. I would like to take just a few minutes at this point with just a quick devotional thought. In John chapter 9, verse 4, we read, I'll get it right here. As long as it is day, we must do that work. We must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, which no one can work. Randy quoted Vance Havner last week, and I think this is one of Vance Havner's outlines in a devotional book I had. He wants us to notice that there's personal involvement, passionate involvement, practical involvement, particular involvement, and prophetical involvement, all in that verse. Very quickly, looking at it, personal, we must do this. Must is the passionate. It's practical when it comes to work. It's particular because it's of him who sent us, of Jesus Christ. And it's prophetical in that night is coming. Are we really aware of that? Are we prepared to think in our own lives about our neighbors, our family, that this one verse covers all of these aspects and characteristics of a message that we're supposed to give? Personal, King James Version says I for that. I must do this. All the rest of that translation I have say we. I agree with that. It's interesting. We, you and I, have got a job to do. We hear it all the time at church. We hear it all the time at Alpha. And by the way, Alpha is one of the best ways that there is to, if you haven't been witnessing before, to show you how to get into witnessing. I was even blessed by it when I took part in it last time we had it. It's the work of God the Father who sent his Son. Remember, Jesus stopped at a well. He must needs go through Samaria because he knew a person was there that needed him. All back through scriptures, we have these wells. Didn't have any pipes to have spigots in those days, but they were fought over. The ones I remember in particular after I'd seen the desert wells of Iran and the area around there, Western Turkey, was the fact that Jacob would go dig a well and his enemies would fill it in, or Isaac would dig the well and his enemies would fill it in, and he'd have to go back and dig it again. Or you'd go out there and, I forget where this particular story is, Genesis, but there, up there the girls go out to the shepherdesses, take the sheep out, and they get back early one day. Why? Because Jacob was there to uncover the well. They covered it to protect it, and the girls couldn't take the big stone off. What are we doing with the water of life that we have? What are you doing with the water of life that you have? What am I doing? I think we could do more. I think I could do more. But I pray that you'll help me to do that, and I'd be praying for you. And I think we'll bring this to a close right here with a word of prayer now, asking just exactly that. Father in heaven, I pray, I ask, I beseech that you'll help me with my own witnessing. But I pray that you'll help these people too, because as they do it, they'll get a feel for what it's like to walk with you, know your leading. And I pray for those pastors we looked at as they travel over those countries on motorcycles, walking, and on the buses where they can. And Father, they're getting out with people, particularly pray with those among the Fulani who have to put up with the jihadis, and they don't like the word of the Lord being preached. Father, help us. Help us to realize that it is personal and practical and particular and all those things, that we can live with that, we can work with it, and know your Holy Spirit leading us as we go from here this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.